I'm Lauren Layfield, and you're listening to Your Next Podcast. This is the podcast that brings you a different series every single week, helping you to find your new favorite show. Another really innovative concept for you this week. You may have heard of The Sensemaker before. Maybe you're already even a listener. For those who don't know, it's a podcast from Tortoise News that aims to make sense of our confusing, messy society. Well, this is the Animal Sensemaker. And the whole idea is that you'll hear the story of one animal every single week to help make sense of the world. So, whilst you obviously learn a lot about the animals in question, the goal of the show is that you also learn a little bit more about the world and how it works too. This episode is all about a ridiculous little bird called a kakapo, and it looks like a watermelon. It weighs about as much too. It's the only flightless parrot, and apparently it smells like an old violin case. Absolutely adorable. You will see what I mean. Let's do it. This is the Animal Sensemaker.
Tortoise.
Hello, I'm Tomini. From Tortoise and On the Edge, this is the Animal Sensemaker. One animal every week to make sense of the world. Today, a flightless parrot from New Zealand makes a daring escape. It's July 2023, and a conservation team in New Zealand are busy upgrading a nature reserve for the arrival of some chunky green visitors.
So these fencing systems were state of the art, dug deep, were up high, and were electrified to ensure that predators didn't get in.
Dr. Alex Bomer is the Director of Natural History at On the Edge, a not-for-profit media and conservation organisation. The team was trialling something new, returning kakapo to the mainland for the first time in around four decades.
It didn't go quite to plan.
The kakapo is unlike any other parrot species.
Imagine a watermelon, okay, in kind of colour, size, roundness. That's what we're kind of going for. So very heavy, actually the world's heaviest and only flightless parrot that can only be found in New Zealand.
Kakapo have a face like an owl. They're solitary, nocturnal, and they smell like an old violin case.
Kind of got that fusty, musty smell to it. You'll smell them before you see them in the wild. They're have quite a pungent, potent smell.
And although the kakapo can't fly, they can still reach the treetops, because when they're not running along the forest floor, they're climbing.
So they have really, really strong claws and very strong beaks. So they will mosey on their way up very large trees, up to 60 foot at times, and they'll kind of just climb their way up using kind of beak, claws, beak, claws, beak, claws.
And when they're not using their beaks for climbing, they're rooting around for food.
Rimu berries is their favourite snack. So much so, actually, that they time their breeding cycles around it. So when we see kind of a big harvest of rimu berries, that is the time where kakapo are going to get ready to get broody. For male kakapo, they are very boisterous, they're full of character, and they're a little bit lazy, especially when it comes to love.
Kakapo live in dense forests, which can make it difficult for them to find a potential mate.
So male kakapo in kind of breeding season will dig themselves a little hole at the highest point that they can find, and what they'll do is they'll just call out with booms and chings, which can actually be heard over kilometres. And they essentially want women to come to them. So they want the female kakapo to strut their things over to them. The females will then fight over the strongest, kind of loudest male, and then they'll kind of get down to business.
There's a problem, though. Kakapo only breed every 2 to 4 years. And when they do, it's rarely a success.
Every kind of breeding cycle is quite different.
Since 1985, 40% of all kakapo eggs laid have been infertile. Today, there are only around 250 kakapo left in the world. So, what were the conservation team trying to do? Kakapo originally lived on New Zealand's mainland.
That was until human settlers came in and introduced rats, cats, dogs, that then kind of pillaged the nests, but also meant that there were many ground predators that could capture the kakapo.
humans would capture kakapo too.
They would go to make kind of adornments, to make clothing, celebratory gowns, etc. The really beautiful green feathers were used to make headdresses or robes for celebrations.
The introduction of invasive species led to a sharp decline in their population, bringing the kakapo to near extinction.
Since human settlers, the numbers declined quite dramatically.
By the 1970s, it was widely thought that the kakapo population would never recover. That was until the 1980s and 1990s, when the entire known kakapo population was transferred to three predator-free islands.
Thankfully, because these predator-free islands are very remote off the coast of New Zealand, they're untouched by humans. So they're kind of left to their own devices, and nature thrives when we leave it to its own devices.
Since that transfer, a team of conservationists have monitored and tracked the kakapo on the offshore islands, boosting their numbers.
So it's only really been over the past 20, 30 years that their numbers have started to gradually kind of grow. But as part of the conservation efforts, what you want to do is expand the range in which these guys can explore and kind of thrive, because not only you give them opportunity to kind of return to where they belong, but you increase the likelihood of breeding with different partners, which is, again, really good for boosting kakapo numbers.
Last year, four male kakapo were flown to the mainland and released into the reserve where the state-of-the-art fences had been built. But those protective fences did not stop the kakapo. They were up for an adventure.
Three of them did escape, using their incredible climbing abilities to climb up a tree that was kind of over one of the fences. So they would climb their way up, shimmy their way along the branch, and then use their short little wings to glide their way down, almost like a little parachute. Thankfully, all of them were found, but one of them did it again. So because they were naughty, they had to be put into timeout and had to be taken back to the islands.
So what's happened since the kakapo's great escape? Since the kakapo returned to their predator-free islands, conservationists have been focusing on their breeding program instead. And over the years, they've tried lots of different strategies. But there's one that sticks with Dr. Alex Bomer in particular.
The sperm helmet experiment.
The sperm helmet experiment was inspired by a young male kakapo called Scirocco.
Scirocco decided that he took a bit more of a liking to humans than he did female kakapo. Now, ensuring that we collect as many samples as possible from these kakapo, the team decided that they would create a helmet which humans could wear. So if Scirocco mounted you and got a little frisky, a little animated, and exploded with happiness, they would be able to capture as much of the sample as possible to be able to run it through lab testing to figure out whether they could use it as part of their breeding program. And again, this was to ensure that they minimize inbreeding across the population.
This particular experiment didn't work. But there's still hope for the kakapo. Paleontologists recently found that the kiwi, New Zealand's national bird, probably emerged from neighbouring Australia, not New Zealand. It's led to calls for the kakapo to become the country's national symbol instead.
We have a lot of hope for the kakapo. We have world-leading specialists working to save the species, and they're working around the clock to ensure that the population just continues to grow and grow and grow. And we've seen this. We've seen positive trends over the past few years that kakapo population numbers are increasing steadily, which is exactly what we want to see. With time, we would love to see the kakapo return to the mainland again, for it to be successful, for them to stay in these kind of reserve areas. There is a lot of hope for this species.
Thanks for listening to The Animal Sensemaker from Tortoise and On the Edge. Today's episode was written and produced by Imi Harper in partnership with On the Edge. Additional production by Jonathan Lewis. Artwork by Emma O'Neill. The editor was Jasper Corbett.
Tortoise.
C. See, this is why I love podcasts. You just learn so much you would never have come across otherwise without even trying. Good luck to the Kakapo. You can find out about a new wonderful creature every single week on the Animal Sense Maker. Just search for that wherever you're listening to this. And don't forget, you can find all my recommendations along with news, reviews and much more on Podcast Rex at www.podcastrex.com. That's www.podcastrex.com.